events here at Boost Entertainment Radio. I have live on the air with me Dave Husted from Crimson Fool. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm hot. Very hot. Yeah, I'm here. It's hot
okay.
Here. It's very hot on the East Coast.
It's I'm in New Mexico right now, and it's kind of warm here too.
Yeah, it's crazy weather that we have. I have people in the chat room already, and they're saying hi, Dave.
Tell them I say hi.
Yeah, they can hear you as long as they're
okay.
Listening.
Hi, everybody.
So, Dave, tell us a little bit about Crimson Fool. How did you all come about?
Originally, many years ago, I'm right now the only, well, myself and the guitarist, Pete Boyson, are the two kind of founding members. One of the guys who was a lead singer, we kind of decided to go in a different direction. Not only with the band, but for itself, but he still works with us. It's Chris Van Alstyne, who is an excellent composer, writer, keyboard player, and a really good producer. Years ago, we got together, started a band, and started playing. Some years passed, and we kind of got the band back together again, and decided to go in the studio and start recording and getting all this stuff out there.
That's great. So what's the current lineup?
The current lineup, that would be, let's see, our lead vocals is Scotty K. Scotty K is from Wisconsin, great voice, great color, great attitude, and, you know, when he's on stage, honestly, he's larger than life. He is, like, the true definition of a front man.
Okay.
David Brown is our drummer, amazing drummer, he stepped in just recently, actually, and went in and, you know, really made the music his own. He reminds me a lot of Alex Van Halen when he plays, because he has a lot of offbeat that he does.
Okay.
He's got a real groove thing kind of going on.
Nice.
Chad Wilkinson is our rhythm guitarist, and he is a bad mofo on the rhythm guitar. He is not somebody who wanted to play lead, but only plays rhythm.
Okay.
Somebody who, that's what he wanted to do his whole life, is just play rhythm guitar. He's very ballsy and edgy, and just a solid guitar player.
Nice.
Pete Poison is our lead guitar player, and Pete is, he's a virtuoso, he really is. He plays guitar, mandolin, ukulele. He builds and plays concert harps.
Nice.
Classically trained on the piano, and, you know, the show is, if it's got a string, he can play it. Mm-hmm. And you could take a kite and, you know, make music out of it.
Oh, wow.
And, myself, I play bass. I really like the driving bass of a lot of the, like, ATZ has a real driving bass to it. Electro has a real driving bass to it. And it's kind of what I like, so I kind of write songs around that.
Okay. Okay. Now, who would you say that you guys sound more like?
You know, I don't think we sound like anybody. What I've heard was that Scotty K, our singer, has a Bon Jovi-ish kind of voice.
Okay.
Pete Poison, our lead guitarist, he has a style all his own. It's one of those things where, you know, if you hear him play, you know him.
Okay.
It's not reminiscent of, like, Eddie Van Halen, I think. I think that's my opinion.
Okay.
But I certainly don't think we don't sound like anybody, and we're not imitating anybody.
Right, right. Well, I was just asking because maybe some people want to see, you know, who your sound is similar to. You know, because that's what people like to know when a new band comes out, if you have a sound similar to somebody else.
Well, you know, I would say that we are rock, but not just rock, but like what rock used to be, with guitar solos and strong hooks, strong lyrics, and a real, like, attitude.
Okay. it's always good to come out with real attitude.
Well, I think it keeps it real, and a lot of what we do and what we write is very relatable to kind of what's going on in the world, a lot of the people in the world as far as politics or anything like that, but you know, what kind of people are going through right now in life.
Right, which brings me to, I remember seeing you had a call out for women for a video that you're doing.
Yes, we have a video. Actually, the song is called Lord How She Tries, and that was written actually by Chris Van Alstine. And what we're doing is we call out it on Facebook to women anywhere in the world to send in a picture of them holding a sign with either an issue they've dealt with, or they've gotten through and gotten past, or an issue they're dealing with now. The inspiration actually for this was a young girl named Kaylin from Texas, and she's a friend of mine on Facebook, and she was going through some stuff and some family problems, and my thought was, you know, if she writes it down in a journal, it's going to help her.
Right.
But then I started thinking, well, if she writes this down and then has a picture of it, she can see herself, you know, with this issue.
Right.
You know, and then I went one step further and thought, well, what if she can listen to this song and see women from all over the world dealing with their own issues, some similar to hers, some greater, some less.
Right.
And that's like what I thought.
Yeah, that's really admirable for you to do that, because there are feminine women out there who are going through and they're so afraid to talk about it and let people know what they're going through.
Oh, just no. Right now we've done in I think about 25 photos. Probably more than 25, but some people sent in numerous photos and numerous signs.
Right.
And you know, it's everything from abandonment to cutting to being alcoholism or addiction or abuse.
Right.
Actually, even to, you know, being comfortable in your own skin, to, you know, somebody had a sign that said, you know, bipolar doesn't define who I am.
Wow.
So.
Well, yeah, it's amazing. It's not just women, though, that go through a lot of things, but I think the women are the ones who are more afraid to admit that they have a problem.
It's, you know, it's funny you say that, and I agree with you. The twist to the end of the song is we have one guy in the video at the very end, and he's holding a sign saying that, you know, that men are that much different than women. We're going through the same thing.
Right. That's true. That is true. Oh my. So let's see, what else do we have? You guys have an album called Synergy, tentatively to be released in the fall.
That is the goal. We're looking at around September-ish.
Wow, that'll be good. And how many songs do you project to be on this album?
Somewhere between 12 and like 16 to 18, something like that.
Wow, that's amazing.
They're all originals, produced by, well, myself and Pete Boyson,
okay,
guitarist. But everybody kind of has a say in how things go and how things work. And, you know, when we come up with a song, like, for instance, I just wrote something and went in a studio here in New Mexico. Oh, you mind, his name is Todd Gilmet, and he actually has 8 or 9 He's out himself, and he does a lot of techno stuff.
Okay.
But I went to his studio the other day, and it's just my voice and a bass, very, very bare bones. It gives structure and, you know, to where the song is going, how the song sounds, the melody line, and so forth. And then from there, everybody kind of adds their own, you know, guitar or drums or whatever to it, their voice. And the music definitely takes on a life of its own.
Nice. It's always nice when you can do that with the music.
it makes it everybody's, you know.
Right, exactly. So I'm trying to watch the chat room as well. Somebody said they can't hear you, but I have everything straight up to the mic. Sorry, guys. There was another question that I had wanted to ask, but it just like slipped my mind. Your new song, though, My Sick Love Song.
Yes.
What?
And I'll try to talk louder too.
Okay. What's the story behind that? Because, I mean, when you come up and you see My Sick Love Song, like, do I really want to listen to that? Which I have, by the way.
I'm sorry?
I said, which I have listened to it, by the way.
I hope you liked it. My Sick Love Song was written for my friend Leslie, who had been going through some relationship problems. And things kind of took a turn for the worse. She was in a bad place. And basically the idea behind the song is that I pretty much wanted to kick the crap out of the guy that hurt her. She's my friend, and I love her. So I wrote this song for her out of love. And it's ballsy, and it's aggressive. And, you know, the first part of the song kind of talks about me wanting to hurt him. There's a line in there that talks about it's time to dance the urban ballet, which is my take on a street fight.
Okay.
But as the song goes on, it kind of talks about karma and how he'll hang himself, and you know, nothing really has to be, nobody has to do anything to him. He's kind of doing it to himself.
Right. Yeah, karma sucks.
You know, it never goes the other way, does it?
No, it doesn't. Well, wait a second. I don't know. I could probably go back and say some things that have happened that I thought karma was not going to bite me in the ass, but it has.
Yeah, you know, karma is always what bites you in the ass as opposed to good luck that randomly happens.
Yeah, unfortunately. So you guys have, I understand, your own daughter does some backup singing on this album?
Yes, actually we have three backup singers. My daughter, Krista Donner, a very soulful singer. She's actually, you know, went to college for music. Amazing voice. And then the Larson sisters, Katie and Kelly Larson, actually both sing backup as well. Mm-hmm. And they kind of add this, between three of us, it's a great combination of like a soulful, classical, and country-ish voices.
Wow. Nice. Very nice. So you're recording in Brett Huss's studios. Tell me about Brett.
Brett is a great guy. Brett, great engineer. He's got a great ear. He's a great producer. He knows what needs to be done and how and when. He owns Soundstation Studios in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and they won a Grammy a few years ago for their work. Top-notch, top-level studio. Brett's very laid-back, great guy who just, he just really knows what he's doing and really makes you feel comfortable. You know, for instance, Dave Brown went in on the fourth to lay some drum tracks. That was actually the first time he'd met Brett, and he went in and, you know, felt right at home, felt comfortable. They clicked. They were on the same page. Just a real good guy. He also is part owner of Momentous Records, okay, which he is distributing Crimson Fool through.
Oh, nice. So you guys have T-shirts, and you're starting up a clothing line, I understand?
Yeah, we have T-shirts like other bands do. You should get it tomorrow, I think, or the next day. Just a regular Crimson Fool T-shirt with a logo on it. We have another one that's in the making right now the song, My Sick Love Song, which is kind of an edgier, pretty cool shirt, though. And then the clothing line is called Synergy. And it's kind of a Vegas meets, you know, Vegas club meet the stage. And they're button-down shirts that are high quality, they're embroidered, lot of what you see, like, at the bottle, maybe.
Okay.
Good example. Okay. Great designs. So.
Nice.
And there's more work to that. The Rhiannon Flam is actually the seamstress that I work with, and she's actually out of New Mexico here, out of Albuquerque. And there was more to it. She really kind of schooled me on this because, you know, I'm like, here's my design, here's my idea. So we went down and, you know, it went from everything to picking out fabric, to picking out buttons, to picking out what thread to use to sew it together. I mean, it really, there was more to it than I ever expected.
Wow. Wow. So somebody in the chat room is wondering what sizes these shirts are going to range.
The t-shirts or the button-downs?
How about both?
Okay. T-shirts, everything from 2 to 3XL on down to, like, child size. Actually, our rhythm guitarist, Chad, just recently had a baby, you know, he didn't, but his wife certainly did. And, actually, I've got a onesie that I had made for him with the Crimson Fool logo on it. But, so I guess everything from a onesie up to, like, a 3X.
Wow.
With the t-shirt. And the button-downs would be, like, a 2X on down to a small.
Okay, cool. Somebody wanted to know in the chat room, how old are you?
I would like to say that I'm proud to be 30.
Wow, you're youngin'.
But I'd like to, that's what I said, I'd like to say that.
Oh, okay, I missed that part. Okay. Yeah, I think we'd all like to be 30 again. I'd like to be 21 again.
If I could be 18 and know what I know now,
uh-huh.
I'd be dangerous. That'd be wonderful.
Nice. People are asking, how did you come up with the Crimson Fool card logo?
That actually we came up with many, many years ago. It's not the same logo as it was many years ago. Years ago it was a very, very simple design. But the idea behind it is, for instance, you can't see the eyes because, you know, in life, many times in life, in love, in you know, your journey in life, you're blind to what's going on around you.
Okay.
The Chester kind of represents the fool in all of us. Behind that, there's kind of a tribal type of heart, which kind of represents that, you know, everything that we're doing really comes from the heart, comes from our own souls. Around that, there's barbed wire. And the idea behind that was that kind of represents the boundaries and the labels that society puts on us.
Mm.
And that, you know, it's confining and constricting, but you can break out of that.
Right.
And when you do, with the barbed wire, you're not going to get out with a few scars, just like with life. You know, you're not getting out of it without a few scars.
That's correct.
So, that's it.
Okay, so now they would like to know, where'd you come up with the Crimson Fool name?
You know, Chris Van Alstine and I were sitting in a McDonald's and trying to come up with a pen name, and we're just throwing names out there, and Fool was thrown out, and then Scarlet was thrown out. Scarlet didn't seem to fit. Someone mentioned Crimson. That just kind of stuck.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'd like to say there's more of a story behind it than that.
Right.
But there's not.
Right. Right. I understand. And somebody in chat is saying it's like, whatever happened to simple names?
Is it meaning that's a good name or it's a bad name?
No, it's still a good name, but she's like saying, like, in reference to, like, Rush. I don't know. That's the example she gave. Like, whatever happened to simple names like Rush? You know, because like you were giving this description behind everything as to, you know, with the card logo and everything.
You know, good question. How's that?
That is, I agree. But you know what? I like the name, and I like the description of the logo behind it, it really brings a lot of validity to what goes on in life, period.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we are really striving to do is hit upon and tap into what is going on with people nowadays, what they're going through, what they're feeling, and whether it be happiness, sadness, problems, anger, you know, and kind of writing about that.
Right.
So everything we're doing is pretty relatable.
Correct, it is. You can tell from the way that, like for the video and then your sick love song. So you can tell that it's all relating to things that everybody's been, you know, deals with on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, and that was kind of the goal, and I think we're achieving that.
I think you are too. Another question. How long has the band been together?
We've been together about 9 to 10 right now.
The new lineup.
Well, yeah, the new lineup, the drummer and the singer just came in about a month or so ago. But a lot of what we had in studio down, we already had down.
Okay.
The drummer came in and laid his own tracks. Dave Brown came in and laid his own tracks. And Scotty, the singer, came in and just knocked the vocals, you know, knocked them out in no time at all.
Okay.
In fact, Scotty just drove through Albuquerque, stopped in with his wife, and he and I just had a late lunch, early dinner together.
Oh, nice. Another question from chat. Do you do anything happy?
Yes, actually, we do. Let's see. The Rules is a song that's, it's about no matter who you are, we all have something in common.
Right.
You know, there's nothing that makes one person better than the other. We have, let's see. I'm going through one of the songs right now. We have actually a really kind of a fun song called Pete Poison Wrote, called Against the Wall. And it's a fun song. No Rules, it kind of has the same kind of fun Van Halen-ish feel to it as well. But yeah, none of the songs are actually like sad, depressing songs. Although it may sound that way by what I'm describing, they're upbeat and they'll pump you up.
Cool. What kind of bands have influenced you guys?
Myself, my very favorite band is Motley Crue. And actually, I'm going to go to them on the 12th here in New Mexico.
Nice.
Motley Crue, Buck Cherry, AC/DC, I know Malcolm Young is Chad, our rhythm guitarist, his all-time favorite guitarist. Pete, you know, I actually asked him this question, who he's inspired by and who he, you know, and his answer, Pete is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get a chance to meet him and talk with him and sit down and talk with him, he'll go out of his way for you, and he always does for everybody. Again, amazing guitarist, best guitarist I've ever heard in my life.
Nice.
And very humble. But, you know, when I asked him about who inspires him, he basically said the people around him, you know, whether it be his girlfriend or his family, his friends, people he meets, somebody he meets, or somebody who makes a comment online, you know, he's inspired by that.
Okay. Okay. They're asking now, are you a conservative? I think you're in politics, but are you a conservative?
I am really not, no. I'm, not at all, no.
Okay.
I do want to mention that, one of the cool songwriter. His name is David Stickney. And he and I have been friends since high school. And he's an excellent writer. He's actually the bulk of what we're recording. He and I written together. Mm-hmm. And he's got a novel in the works right now. But he's also kind of working as a consultant with me on this, as far as like strategies, general what the sound should be.
Right. So if anybody wanted to purchase your music now, any of the songs that you have now, can they?
At this moment in time, no. But shortly, yes.
Okay. Will they be able to?
I'm working on it. I kind of ran into a glitch on fool.com as far as getting the site up and running. But I'm kind of, we'll be taking care of that shortly. And then that should be up and running. But there'll be a place that you can buy the songs online and or download.
Okay. I have another question from chat. Wait a second. It says, how does Dave pick playing bass?
How do I pick playing bass?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand that.
I'm going to say, my guess is what he or she means is, why do I play bass and not something else? I love the bass. My favorite bass player is Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue. I like him because he not only plays bass, it's driving bass, which, again, I really like that driving force behind everything and the low end. But I also like that he's the main songwriter and lyricist of the band.
Okay.
And he's pretty, I think, that's what I would start by early on. It's easier to play bass than lead guitar.
Why?
How's that?
Why?
No, it's kind of a running joke. A lot of people say that a lot of bass players are wannabe guitarists, but they weren't good enough. And there are a lot of people who play bass who originally play guitar, and there are very few people that are bass players because they want to be.
Okay.
And I'm a bass player because I want to be.
Hey, that works, that's fine. You know, how old were you, Dave, when you started playing?
I started playing when I was 18.
Okay.
I give a lot of credit to who I mentioned before, Chris Van Alstine. I was in the first band with him, and he'd already been playing for many, many years. I think he started out with keyboards and Suzuki violin. Mm-hmm. So he had a lot of, and he went to school for music as well. So he had a lot of training behind him, and I picked up pretty fast on that. My very first roommate I had was a bass player as well. And everything that it took him about, 6 or 8 months to learn. It took me about, 2 or 3 weeks to learn because he taught me. Mm-hmm. I don't just play rock. I mean, I played in a blues band with a guy by the name of Billy Cade. And he tours nationally as Big Daddy Cade. And he does tours nationally as like a BB King.
Okay.
And he was in Crimson Fool initially, briefly, and then I was actually in his first blues band.
Oh, wow.
So I played some blues, I played some pop, slap, funk as well.
Nice.
But, I think keeping it simple and driving is kind of where my heart is.
Sure, I understand that. Question in the chat is, what is your favorite guitar?
I love Ibanez. The fretboard is really nice. It's almost like playing the guitar when you're playing bass on an Ibanez fretboard. I also have an Epiphone Thunderbird as well, like Nikki Sixx plays. It's actually Nikki Sixx's signature model. And then I also have a
God. Okay.
And Crimson Fool is happy to be endorsed by any manufacturer out there. Your ad here.
I like that. I like that a lot. So
I'm shameless.
Oh, that's funny. You know what? It's so hard nowadays in the music industry for anybody, you know, because you're basically working for yourself. You have to be your own advocate anywhere right now in life, especially with the music industry, to get your endorsements. They're so hard.
Yeah, it really is. I actually spoke with Petey, and Petey's actually a really good bass too. It just so happened the guy who designed Ibanez basses went over to Petey and then designed their basses. Uh-huh. So Petey and Ibanez are very similar. But you know, you're right. It's really hard. I mean, you know, there's a criteria to play how many gigs per year, and it has to be full time. There's so much criteria to even have them hand over a $300 bass.
Right.
That is pretty crazy. There's a guitar, Defiance guitars out of Winona, Minnesota. They're all handmade, great guitars. And I've looked into, you know, possibly doing some type of endorsement with them as well. And if I was going to do with anybody, that, you know, you'd have to be a discounted price, I'd go with Defiance just because they're all handcrafted quality guitars.
I was going to say, if you're looking for handcrafted guitars, I have a really good friend that I went to high school with, and he's got some beautiful harp guitars that he does, but you're not into that, I guess. Oh, my. Let me see here. I'm looking. Okay. Another question. Any romantic songs that you're going to do?
Actually, yes. There is a song called I Loved You that I had written for... Actually, take it back. I wrote a song called Quick of a History for an ex-girlfriend of mine. And it just so happened that great guitar work, and the bass line went along with it really well. Everything kind of gelled. The melody line was great, and I rewrote that. Mm-hmm. And instead of I Love You, it was I Loved You, and in parentheses underneath this product or history. And it's just about, you know, how when you're with somebody and you care for them, you love them, and you thought things would be forever, and things change.
Yeah,
but it's a ballad. It's a sweet song. We do have another song actually, which is more probably along the lines of what that person was asking about, and it was also written by Christian Alstein. It's called Half of a Heart, and that is actually a very loving, touching, non-depressing song about the lyrics. The chorus, I guess, you know, I'm just half of a heart. I am a sky without stars. I'm a crowd feeling lonely, and a beat song played too slowly. Without you, I'm just half of a heart.
Oh my God. Now, see, I would like something like that. For my downtime.
It's a great song.
Yeah, for my downtime, that's good. That's real good. Because, you know, you always need a downtime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Pete Boyson, our guitarist, I just want to mention this too. He actually just finished a solo album called Only Me, and it's just him, his guitar, his acoustic guitar, and probably some shakers, and that's about it.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just a very acoustic, organic CD he did.
Right.
All originals also.
Oh, cool. Now, would Crimson Fool do anything acoustic?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have, I'm kind of going back and forth on a few songs.
Question in chat. They want to know how you became the band's general manager.
Well, that's an excellent question. Kind of got the band back together after many years. I just kind of took the reins and let the train go. I'm pretty strong with promotions and marketing, so I think that's kind of where that came from.
Right. Well, then how do you balance the band time and being a paramedic?
My schedule is really nice. It allows me to, because I work 2 days a week.
Oh, that's nice.
So I work 2 days a row and I have 4 days off.
Very nice.
And that allows me to have enough time to do both.
That's excellent. That is most excellent. I don't know, do you have any shout-outs that you want to give out to people?
I would love to. Let me start with, I have a few here.
Okay.
Let's start off with saying hi to Jason and Tanny Riza. When I come into the Midwest, into Wisconsin, in the southern area, Pete and I actually stay with them and their family, and they put us up there for anywhere from 4 days to 8 days in a row, and they're generous and just great, great people. A lot of these people are actually on my Facebook as well. Angie Mayhew Groves. This woman has her MySpace page is actually called Inside My Head, and it talks about MS. And she is pretty much about inspiration and information.
Nice.
Bonnie Power of Wildchild Magazine. Again, I got to say Brett Hughes of Soundstration Studios and Noventus Records, who can't see enough good things about. Alicia Shanahan, who actually I met through Facebook, of all places. Great person, pillar of strength, true inspiration. She's a fighter battling cancer. Anise Carly, she said, actually, of Cartoon Video Productions. She does a lot of her video work and editing and such.
Very cool.
I did go to Allison. He's a 16-year-old from Wisconsin who loves music, and I bounce a lot of lyrics and stuff off him. I'll send him a text to Aaron and say, hey, what do you think of this? Or, hey, you know, and I get it. Tiny LaBrake, who is actually our model, our CD cover, beautiful model from New Mexico as well. Tracy Albert, RSVP Rockstar Promotions. If you're in the West or Northwest region and you want them to put together, she's the person who can do it for you.
Okay.
Jennifer McBride of Memoria Photography. She's kind of our exclusive photographer for Crimson Fool. My good friend Leslie Hughes, who is like this inspiration for the song, Bicycle Love Song. And Rhiannon Flam, who is the seamstress for Synergy Clothing. That's what I'd like to give a shout out to.
Wow. That's a lot. You have a lot of people behind you, and that is wonderful. And just remember, the Boost Radio is behind you guys 100%, thick and thin. We're always here when you guys have your Synergy album out. Let us know. We will promote you as best as we can.
Definitely will do that, and I appreciate it, and I thank not only you, but Boost Radio in general.
Well, thank you, Dave, and I'm going to leave the listeners with that wonderful song, Sick Love Song.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Dave.
Hiding in the quicksand, wearing desperate like a name brand. Think you're cool, but y'all just a joke. You tried to be a hero, you're acting like a zero. I guess it's just your natural way. You're playing daddy one box, you're blessed with all your good looks. She told me you're allowed to lay. Well, you could hate me for wanting you gone, but you played her like a sick love song. A tragic ending to a love gone wrong. You'll be the ending of my sick love song. Treat another, you kick them like a dog to the curb. Better watch your back now, cousin, come on, and I know how to give it to you like you.